by God, and then chose to believe that he didn't need God anymore because he could do a better job. In other words, I want the goods. I don't want the God that goes with the goods. Bragging. Ooh. Brag. To talk boastfully about one's talents, accomplishments, or possessions. Psalms 44:8. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. There's a boasting about what God is doing. There's a boasting about who he is. But truthfully, and I can't get into all this tonight, all this goes with the stuff we've been teaching about your works and your talents and your self-esteem. You boast about yourself because it's something you can grab onto that God's given you so you feel good about yourself. But God says it's evil because you're basing how you feel about yourself on a gift he gave you instead of on being created in his image. And to do that, you compare yourself with others. I want this out. I just get amazed sometimes when I do something right. Like, look what I did. I guess I have the gifting and talent to do this. And I do know now with all of my understanding that I only have the gifting and talent to do it because God gave it to me. But at the same time, I don't even want to get a little bit of yay from it. And I do. I got yay from it today. I made some cool tape covers today. And God gave me to do them because I've seen them take it before and I can't even make one that anybody would even want to look at. But I don't want to have any need at all to even think like that. I don't want that. Wouldn't it be free to be free from that? So I'm believing God to help me get free from that. Tonight, God, just get it out. Get all the reprobate. Why would that be reprobate? Because the lie is you're either that you're better than someone else or that your value and your worth is what you do. That's the lie. So if my value and my worth is in what I do, then I'm going to brag about it. I'm going to keep saying it and showing it till I believe I'm okay. You're okay because you're made in the image of God. You don't have to compare yourself to each other. You don't have to tell everybody how great you are. It's supposed to be how great he is, not how great thou art. Thou being you. And then you have people with low self-esteem who hate themselves and couldn't think of anything good. That's just as reprobate. That's not humble, okay? Humility is not thinking you're horrible. Humility is not thinking there's nothing valuable about you, okay? Humility is knowing you're dependent upon God. Okay? Humility is knowing you're totally dependent upon God. But he didn't make you without gifts and talents. He didn't make you without something to glorify him. Amen. So that's false humility, and that stinketh too. So for those pride, arrogant, independent from God people, boo. And from those poor people who have nothing to offer anybody, boo. Both are lies. Both are reprobate. The truth is every one of us is made in the image of God. Every one of us has gifts and talents to glorify God. But our self-esteem has to come from belonging to God. There's such freedom in that. You can just start to get a hold of the freedom of just liking who you are because he made you. Period. And everybody else doesn't have to like you. Everybody else doesn't have to agree with you. They don't have to see it. You don't have to be a people pleaser. Amen. Because you are a God pleaser. And you know he's pleased with you. And you also know whatever area that's still messed up, he's working on. Hallelujah. Just work on it. Okay. Devising evil things. Devise is to plan, to form, arrange in the mind. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. This is a big one, folks. This is manipulation, okay? Not that any of you have ever manipulated. Ha, 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 ha. But manipulation is you're devising evil to get your way. You're using people. You're coming up with stuff. You're manipulating. It's witchcraft. Devising evil is anything your little brain is thinking of that puts you in control and in charge instead of God. There's just all kinds of evil. There's all kinds of wicked habits. As I'm even saying this, I'm seeing things pop in each of your heads, some of you, but they're all the same, so it doesn't matter, okay? Bad is bad. I want to be free in Christ. But I could just, the Holy Spirit is popping stuff around here tonight. I don't have to say them all. All right. Disobedient to parents, disobedient, not submissive to authority, to refuse or fail to follow an order or rule. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. This is talking to grown-ups too. I'm not talking, when you become a grown-up, you're to honor your mother and your father. and I can't get into that. We got awesome teaching on it. You could have had the worst mother and father in the world. You honor them because God says to. You honor them for who they could be in Christ. You don't honor them because you think they deserve it. That makes you the judge. Can't get into all that tonight. This may help you for your little trip. But we have a thing. You honor because if there hadn't been the devil involved, they would have been awesome. If they had known God and were led by the Holy Spirit, they'd have been great. And you honor them because of the position they were supposed to reveal about God in your life. Okay? You honor them. You can forgive them. You can see the faults and see what the enemy's done. But you honor them. And then you can have long life on the earth. You wonder why so many people are sick and dying of all these diseases and all these different things? One of the reasons is they didn't honor their mother and father. They trash them. They talk bad about them. They don't see them the way God sees them. I'm not talking like you looked at, I mean, we've got somebody here whose, you know, father raped her from the time she was 3 to 17. I'm not saying you forgive them and we've gone about how you forgive and all that's on tapes, but you honor the position of a father and a mother and you turn the sin issues and the perversion over to God and you pray for them. How do you still honor them? You send them a birthday card. You don't have to buy one that's fake. You're the greatest mother that ever was. You know, no, you can just say one that, happy birthday, mom. They're only like 39 cents in the card factory. A lot of those cards don't say a whole lot, you know. If you have a hard time with the fancy ones, you know, for your particular mom or dad, then just go over to one of the cheap stores. There's just basically is stamped in there, happy birthday, you know, sunshine birthday or something like that or, you know. You all know the ones. Okay, 19. This is so many people. Just think about it. God says this is reprobate, to be without discernment. Discernment is to discern, to separate, to judge, and to decide. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to another to the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. It talks about testing the spirits. It talks about Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are mature, who by reason of practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them and discern them. But we have the mind of Christ. It's reprobate when you've lost the ability to discern what is it. Let me give it. People who cannot discern that killing a baby is wrong is reprobate. People who cannot discern that it's unnatural, certain things that people say are normal. Do you see what I'm saying? For a father to rape his daughter and not be able to discern that this is grossly perverted and wrong is reprobate. Okay? So he's saying you'll actually get turned over to where your decisions are totally blurred with reprobate. Somebody who murders somebody, somebody who does drugs or gets into that whole stealing. Do you see what I'm saying? Although they're not discerning, they're not judging, and they've become reprobate in that. Okay? That's what that's talking about. You can't discern in the spirit realm until the Holy Spirit lives in you. It's not talking about that kind of discernment, although it would be reprobate once you are a born-again believer to not believe the discernment of the Holy Ghost, and that can go into reprobate and counterfeit if you're not careful. All right, covenant breakers. Covenant is a contract, pact, agreed upon plan between two parties or declaration of one person's will. Okay, I'm making all this. We are in covenant with God. And actually, the Bible says, make no vow to any man. So I believe the only person I'm really in covenant with is God. And then he will lead me in all my relationships. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I really think the vows we take at our marriages actually put us in bondage. And we had a whole teaching on that at some point. Because if God says, make no vow to any man, he means it. And that man there means person. So when we did a couple of weddings, the Lord had us do it to say, Lord, by your grace, we will love, honor, and cherish each other. Because truthfully, it's only by his grace. If you've been married any amount of time, you know you need some grace to really live a godly marriage. No, but I'm serious. You need grace in a marriage. You don't need what you're going to do. What you're going to do has the divorce rate at 60%. And I think that's even in the church. 60 is probably low. But the other, and then the other 40 probably can't stand each other. You probably have 10%. Who really have realized it's about grace and submitting to God and honoring God and seeing what God, how God sees it. All right. Last one. Is this the last one? No, it's not. Real quick. All right. No natural affection. I'm going to do this real quick. It's where you don't even, it's a woman who is able to abort a child has no natural affection. There is an automatic love or desire to protect that comes with motherhood. And reprobate takes that from you to where there's no natural affection. And a lot of times they put a wall there so you can't love your other children. And we've seen people heal from that. But no natural affection. You've been hurt so much. You were hurt so much trying to love your mom or trying to love your dad that there's no natural affection. You can't really love anybody. You might be able to lust after them, but you can't really have that love for somebody because you have no natural affection. You've lost that. That's reprobate. You've been turned over. It's hard-hearted. When those kids went into Columbine and just killed their roommates, or their not the roommates, but the classmates, they had no natural affection. They could not even care about people that they knew. That's how reprobate it can get. That's where our society's going with this. Okay, I know. Unforgiving. Oh, gosh. I know I'm doing a whole lot. I really want to do all this. I can't do it all. We got lots of tapes on all of these things. Unforgiveness, really quick. If you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. It is a spiritual law. There will be a lot of Christians, I believe, in hell because they couldn't forgive. Isn't that sad? See, Christ in you is the only way you can forgive. Let me say this. If you ever forgave someone who really hurt you before you were born again, you didn't really forgive them. You took on a coping mechanism because there's only grace to forgive in Christ. I'm talking about a really big thing. I'm talking about somebody took your bubble gum or something. I'm talking about something major that happened to you. A lot of times schizophrenics I found were really hurt and they think they forgave, but they actually shoved all that unforgiveness. And then they lose contact with reality. Some of you have shoved unforgiveness. You need to bring it up, get darn mad, and then bring the cross into it. That happened for Teresa. From what she went through, we were at a NAGSID thing, and Teresa thought she had forgiven, but that little kid was spitting mad. And so we were like, we brought out a beanbag chair and said, pretend this is the father who molested you over and over. And she went after that beanbag chair like it didn't have a chance. But after she got that angry kid to the surface, then she could forgive because of the blood of Christ. And then she was set free from it completely. And all the anger was out and gone. And so sometimes you have to deal with that kind of thing. And that's what inner healing deliverance does. But the truth is, the reason we can't, there's only one reason we can forgive in Christ. Because in Christ is the only time you have the revelation that it's spirits that hurt you, not people. Spirits use people's bodies, mouths, and everything else to do it with. But it's really spirits that hurt you. And until Christ, you can't see that. Until Christ is self-righteousness to think you can forgive. But when I can separate the spirit, like when Teresa was able to separate the spirit of perversion in her father that molested her from the man made in the image of God, she was able to forgive the man made in the image of God and put him in the hands of God and pray for his salvation. But she knew that those demons who used him and the perversion and whatever he went through to cause this to happen, those demons are going to hell, and she wants front row seats. You can hate, you not only can, you should hate demons, period. But you should especially hate the ones that hurt you and try to ruin you and ruin relationships in your life. I hate the demon that took the tree branch and hit my daughter in the head with it. I don't like him. I'm glad he's going to hell. I'm glad he didn't destroy my marriage. I'm glad he couldn't take my faith. I'm glad he didn't pervert how I see God. Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. But when he gets thrown in for the permanent time, I don't mind watching it happen. But if a human being gets thrown in, it will be sad for all of us because we will recognize them made in the image of God at that time. At that time, they will have pure understanding and see how they were taken for a ride. And I think it's going to be really hard to watch people who were never supposed to go to hell go to hell. That's why you want to forgive and not be a part of that person's anger and bitterness and them going to hell. Folks, I'm not going to get into tonight. Hell is bad forever. If it was just the matter of hell and you had to live right and ask God in your heart just not to go to hell, if it didn't have to do with this awesome journey with God and this wonderful God who loves us and how great it is, if it was just purely not to go to hell, it would still be worth it. I'm serious. You're talking eternity versus maybe 90 years. 90 years of following the rules and loving God. I mean, if it was even possible that way. See, once you really get him, you fall in love with him, and it's not even about that. If it was about it, it'd be worth it. Because can you imagine forever in hell? Kind of think of all the awesome things God's made on the earth. Heaven's going to even be more awesome. And think of that God using that same creativity to create a place to put the devil and his enemies. It was not created for human beings. It's going to be bad. Thank God I'm not going there. Okay, unmerciful. Merciless. Having no mercy. This guy got to me with this one. Cruel. Mercy is a disposition to be kind and forgiving. To help people get rid of their relief, their stress. To be kind to people if it's in your power. It's not a passive emotion, but an active desire to remove the cause of distress. So when you're merciful, you actually want to surrender self. You want to quit sinning. You want to do whatever it takes that you can be used by God to help other people. That's mercy. That's mercy. It's mercy to say, God, whatever you have to strip out of my life, God, whatever I have to go through to get to a place that you can use me to help someone else, that's mercy. But cruelty is something God showed me that was in my life before I knew Christ. And it would just be with a really sharp tongue. And I see it in my dad in certain situations where he could just treat people like they're not people. And then otherwise, he's awesome. He's an awesome dad. He just does wonderful things. And God began to show me this was a curse. This was something down your line. And I don't want to get into it, but I really believe, and I could be wrong, but I really believe this. I feel like the Lord showed me this, that in my family line, we had slave owners, or actually not owners, but foremen, who were the ones who really abused the slaves. And I feel like that spirit of cruelty that was involved in that was generational. And in that, I think that's where some of the sharp, mean things that I could say. And I thank God for knowing him since I was 7 and the fruit in my life. But there would be things that I would say sometimes that would be so hurtful. And I would use my quick wit or my thinking that God's given me to hurt, to purposely hurt. And I've seen that in my kids a little. And that's when I started praying and saying, God, and they're awesome boys. Don't get me wrong. So my kids are really love God and they live really holy lives. I'm really proud of them. That in the right kind of proud. But at the same time, if you don't see these little things and you just look the other way, one day the enemy's going to use that thing. So I begin to ask God, why is this cruelness in my life? As much as people know I give and give and pour out and all the things God's made me to be, I think God, the devil didn't get a hold of me. My gosh, if the devil had really gotten a hold of me and I had given into these traits and these curses over my family, I'd be the greediest, mean, nasty thing. Actually, reminds me of some of my relatives. Honestly, that I really pray for. And it's only by his grace. Do you see what I'm saying? Can you see these are the things that are reprobate? Did anybody ever think of those things as being reprobate? I'm just so thankful to get free from those things. So now we're going to do an altar call.